What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee, so recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear listener of IRIB English Radio, today's special, salam and welcome to this program. Today we're going to speak about Allah in our daily life.
يا الله يا رحمن حقق أمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا يا الله يا منان حقق أمانينا وفقنا في كل آن
world today, for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغبط لنا إحساس أنت هالينا.
Today Wednesday is the 13th of Jamadi al-Thani 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of Bahman 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 27th of January 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we'll listen to chapter Al Imran, verse 159.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك فاعف عنهم واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الأمر فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ.
So by mercy from Allah, O Muhammad, you were lenient with them. And if you had been rude in speech and harsh in heart, they would have disbanded from about you. So pardon them and ask forgiveness for them and consult them in the matter. And when you have decided, then rely upon Allah. Indeed, Allah loves those who rely upon Him.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The content of this verse from chapter Al-Imran works as some general instructions, but the revelation of the verses about the Battle of Uhud. The Muslims who had ran away in the Battle of Uhud and were defeated were burning in the fire of regret, remorse, and sorrow. They gathered around the Prophet Muhammad and apologized. Then the Lord issued the command of their general pardon by this verse. Also, besides contemplation and consultation and reliance in Allah, are beloved with Allah, whether we attain the aim or not.
Yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves, isn't this proof enough for us?
Now, the signs of God in our daily life. Knowing God and the sense of responsibility. Dear friend, we know a doctor who, when poor people visit him, not only does he not get money from them for the visit, but he gives them money and drugs. And if he senses a danger for that person, he will stay all night in his home. There are people who worship Allah and have faith, but also know a doctor who, until the money of the visit is not paid, he will not take the first step for the sick person because he does not have a strong faith. A person who has faith, no matter what his or her profession is, senses responsibility, knows his or her duties, does good, readily forgives, and constantly sees a spiritual policeman within his or her soul who watches over one's deeds. But people who lack faith are selfish and dangerous people who have no sense of responsibility. Oppression, suppression, and aggression against the rights of others is easy for them, and they are less prepared to do good.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the role of feeling the presence of God in our daily life. Spiritually speaking, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does have its own positive influence in that those people who are always considerate of the presence, of the active presence of God in their lives, they are associates of the, they can be regarded as if they are associates of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a piece of divine discourse, hadith Qudsi, in that it's indicated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ana jalisu man dhakarani, I am the associate of whoever remembers me. Elsewhere it's indicated, فَذَكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَأَشْكُرُونِ وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ, be mindful of my presence, I mean, remember me, so that I will remember you, and be grateful to me, be thankful to me, and never be ungrateful. We find that Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, the sixth infallible Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, indicated it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed all people, instructed mankind to be always considerate of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't neglect or overlook, I mean, man, and that whoever is mindful of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his private moments, certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be considerate of him or her, especially at the time of his or her needs.
I know amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist.
You are alive.
You guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in life. A world that often lies, cause
I don't need
anyone.
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio, and this part entitled Relying on Allah in Our Daily Lives. Reflection on this universe is one from the list of steps on relying on Allah. How many forces must come together with perfect coordination before a seed can sprout? What keeps this immensely complex universe working so flawlessly, from the simplest to the most complex things? There are indeed pointers to the Creator in every atom of everything in this universe, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of night and day. There are indeed signs for people of understanding, people who are remember Allah standing, sitting, and lying down. They realize that Allah did not create all this without purpose. Glory to Allah. It is pointed to chapter 3 from the Holy Quran, verses 190 and 191. This ability and capacity to think deeply about things is the light of a Muslim.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Is
easy ways to remember Allah. One way is reading an ayah of the Holy Quran a day. Start incorporating the recitation of the Quran daily and build a relationship with it slow and steady. The reciting at the very least just one ayah a day, reflecting on its meaning and implementing its lessons into your daily life when possible. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, "Whoever reads one letter from the Book of Allah, the Holy Quran, will earn one reward thereby. One reward is equal to 10 rewards, the like of it. I do not say that Alif Lam Mim is a letter, but Alif is a letter, Lam is a letter, and Mim is a letter." Don't worry, dear friend, if you feel like you aren't very fluent in reciting the Holy Quran. Everybody starts somewhere, and the effort is so worth it.
In this world, God has given you the opportunity to make yourself qualified. Now, not everything's pre-programmed, no. Some things are programmed, yes. Did you choose your parents? Who chose his parents here? That was something decided by God, not you. Where you were born, did you choose that? No. Your physical features, the color of your eyes, did you choose that? No. Some things are pre-programmed by God. But aside from that, you have the free will. You decide. Allah makes it very clear in the Quran, we gave the human beings two paths. You could either go left, the wrong path, or go right to the right path. That's your willpower. God gave you, first of all, the intellect to decide what's right from what's wrong, the power of reason. And secondly, he sent you prophets and divine books to help you with that. So the reason why God created us is to have mercy on us. But how can we realize or actualize that complete level of mercy to be qualified to go to heaven? Because the ultimate mercy is in heaven, in paradise. You have to be qualified for that mercy.
That was all for today's special. Thank you so much for being with us till the end of our program. Till another episode of today's special. May Allah keep you safe.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine. When I'm out there in the darkest place, worn and tired, I can still see you illuminate all my skies. When it feels like I've fallen too far from you, they are guiding me through.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us present you a supplication to the Lord Most High by the Holy Prophet's Immaculate Daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. O Allah, by your knowledge of the unseen and your power over creation, keep me alive so long as you know that life is good for me, and cause me to die when death is good for me. Thank you.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We know that we as individuals have been created differently in terms of our body shape, our eye color, our hair color, our skin color. But that doesn't really mean anything. This is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to create us. It does not mean that that person who, you know, has a lighter skin or a darker skin or a, you know, a fairer complexion is more able to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, this is not what we mean. As we've been seeing in our previous discussions, our previous episodes, that one of the most important faculties that all human beings have been given is that of the intellect. But however, as we will come to see in this tradition, one thing becomes clear. So just that every single human being has been created physically different, there is also this gift and this faculty that has been given to us in different strengths and weaknesses. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is just, He is adil, He knows who He gave what, and then obviously He knows on what is the criteria to judge that particular person. This is important for us to understand. And we take a very beautiful point here, that just because me as an individual understands something, or me as an individual is able to do something, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me that ability to do so, I should not look down on somebody else who does not have the ability to understand it. Rather, I should try and help that person. And if he cannot understand it, then say, look, okay, it's one of those things. Try and understand in your own way, or try and do something easier. And this is what we learn from this tradition as well, that the intellectual capacities between people is different. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge based on these differences. So here, Imam Baqir alayhi salam is reported to have said that God will be exacting with His servants at the reckoning on the day of judgment. He will be extremely precise. There's no way that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tip the scale this way, to use the metaphor, tip the scale that way, in favor of somebody. No, it will be exacting. It will be, you know, to the actual minuscule, you know, accuracy. So the Imam continues and says, only to the extent that he gave them intellect in the temporal world. In this temporal world that we have, in this world that we are currently living in, we have been given intellect, but every single person has been given something different. And therefore we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what he gave, or knows the ability and capacity of that person. And Allah will be exacting and judging that person according to what he has been given. And not up to us to judge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make use of that intellect in which we have been given. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we are able to get a better one and a more perfect one, inshaAllah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra, bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu Alaikum. In the new series of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, first we're going to have some quotes about the Quran by some Western scholars. Then we're going to listen to some verses of the Noble Quran recited by one of the famous reciters from around the world. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed of the Noble Quran, is going to analyze the recitation. And finally, at the end, you're going to listen to a segment called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. The audience, stay tuned. Edward Gibbon, who was an English historian, writer, and member of parliament in 18th century, has written about the Quran the following. From the Atlantic to the Ganges, the Quran is acknowledged as the fundamental code not only of theology, but of civil and criminal jurisprudence. And the laws which regulate the actions and the property of mankind are governed by the immutable sanctions of the will of God. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 1 to 3 of Surah At-Tahrim, recited by Sheikh Shahad Muhammad Anwar.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya
ما
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. What you just listened to was the recitation of Surah At-Tahrim, verses 1 to 3, by Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Anwar. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. Okay? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي. In the phrase يا أيها النبي, we have مد المنفصل يا أيها. These are two words, they're not one word, okay? So what happens is that you have to lengthen this med. You have the option to lengthen this med to 2, 4, or 5 vowel counts. And that's why it's called Jaizul Munfasil, which means the optional disjunct lengthening. Yeah, now there's a grammatical point here. Why is it that sometimes we have yeah by itself, and sometimes we have yeah Ayyuha? This happens whenever there is alif lam after ya, because you can't say yan nabi, you can't say yan nafsul mutma'inna, ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna, ya ayyuhan nabi. But you can say, for example, ya Muhammad, because Muhammad is not a alif lam. So this is a grammatical point in Arabic. Ya ayyuhan nabi. The ya has shadda. We have to make sure that we don't put too much pressure on the ya, because ya is a letter of rakhawa and lean. You have to pronounce it gently and softly. Ya ayyuhan nabiyu, nabiyu. Lima tuharrimu. The ra has tarqiq, okay, because we have to pronounce, because it has a kasra, so we have to pronounce it thinly. Ma ahallallahu lak, ma ahalla. Again, we have maddul munfasil. Halallahu lak, the Lam of Allah is pronounced with taghlil because it's preceded by a letter with a fatha. Tabtaghi marḍāta azwājik, marḍāta, the Lord has tafkhim at the highest level because Lord is a letter of istirla. Wallahu ghafurur rahim. Ghain and the two ra's, they all have tafkhim. The ghain is a letter of istirla. The first ra has tanween al-dham and the second ra has fatha. قد فرض الله لكم تحلة أيمانكم. قد, in this word we have قلقلة on the letter دال, so we have to make sure that the sound of دال bounces back and is not trapped in the place of articulation of دال. قد, قد, the sound is a neutral sound which is not inclined to any of the three short vowels. So if you say قد Qada, or Qadi, or Qadu, that's incorrect. لَكُمْ تَحِلَّتْ أَيْمَانِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ مَوْلَاكُمْ وَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ وَإِذَا سَرَّ النَّبِيُّ إِلَىٰ بَعْضِ أَزْوَاجِهِ حَدِيثًا فَلَمَّا. We have إِخْفَاء of Nun Sakina here. So you have to approximate the place of articulation of fa and at the same time make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. We don't have time to continue talking about this verse and its rules of tajweed. So until next time, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, there was once upon a time a ruthless ruler whose name was, as we all know, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi. Now this individual was known for disliking the Sadat, that is the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. More so, he disliked them on two accounts. One, that they were the family of the Holy Prophet. And two, most of them, obviously, were the Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salam. So on both these accounts, he disliked them immensely. And anything that was done to promote either the family of the Holy Prophet or, you know, the Shi'i school of thought, was something that, you know, he put a stop to immediately. It was not something that he allowed to be freely promoted amongst the populace. So it is narrated in Bihar al-Anwar that one day Hajjaj summoned a person by the name of Amir al-Sha'bi, and he summoned him to his court. So now Amir, obviously being scared, he said, why is Hajjaj, you know, summoning me? So he got ready. He, you know, read two rakat Salah, he read his units of prayer, two units of prayer. He wrote his will and final testament, got ready, and he left to the court of Hajjaj. As he enters the court, he sees that, you know, there is an execution about to occur. He can see that this is a moment and the scene has been set for an execution. And he can see that Hajjaj in his hand has a sword that has been drawn out of its sheath. So Hezekiah enters into the court and he greets Hajjaj, and Hajjaj then obviously returns his greeting. Hajjaj tells him not to worry. Oh Amir, this is not for you. You have been given immunity until tomorrow. Anyway, from amongst the crowd, Hajjaj summons a person who has been chained, has been tied up, who has, you know, a metal ring around his neck. And Hajjaj calls him towards him and says to this person that, you have to prove to me that Hassan and Hussein were the sons of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. If you do not prove this to me, I will strike your neck. He tells this to the person who has been chained. So Amir being there said, oh Hajjaj, oh, you know, commander of the faithful, how can you strike this person's neck? You know, in order for him to prove that, you'll have to remove the chains from him. And even if you don't want him to prove it or he's unable to prove it, you still have to remove the chains in order to strike his neck, because he's covered in chains, his neck has been covered in metal, your sword won't have any effect on him. So anyway, Hajjaj bends to this request of Amir, and he orders the chains from this individual to be removed. So as the chains has been removed or were removed from this individual who made this claim, or has been reported that this was the individual who made this claim, most possibly amongst the people of Kufa at the time, Amir says that the person who was under the chains was none other than Sa'id ibn Jubair. Inshallah, in continuing the story in our next episode. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق فيه محاسن الأخلاق والقرآن
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة
The Gate of Knowledge Exegesis and Interpretations of the Supremely Eloquent Sermons Letters and Sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge where we are discussing about the sermons and letters and sayings of Imam Ali alayhi salam. We are discussing about the Sermon of the Pious People, the sermon number 184 in Nahjul Balagha, where Imam Ali alayhi salam describes the qualities of those who are pious. One of those qualities that he describes is the quality of contentment of the soul. And he says that you will see that a pious person is one who is qani'atan nafsu, whose state of the soul is in a state of contentment. He is content with whatever he has. And we have explained in depth what is the meaning of contentment and all of those discussions, the theoretical discussions that we had in the past. And together with that, of course, some of the questions were answered of the relationship between contentment and progress and many other things. Previously, we started the discussion of the fact that contentment is actually one of those things that leads to a very good state within and also in the society. So a person reaches a state of peace inside his heart and also the society reaches a state of peace, because everyone suffices to their needs, and therefore there is no there is no fighting, there is no conflict, there is no dispute between people so as to, for example, take what another person has. So a person doesn't long for what is in someone else's hands and tries to steal it or things like that. And this is a state of peace that the society achieves. And of course, this is the result of that internal state of happiness that a person has as a result of contentment.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, when you talk about the issue of not having conflicts within, we also discussed the idea that when a person enters into conflict and starts to dispute, and when he because of the lack of contentment that he has inside him, and because of that greed, if a person starts to conflict with others, and or has conflicts within himself and outside also with people, what happens is that the important resources that God has given him get lost and get destroyed. And this is exactly the plan of Shaitan. That the plan of Shaitan is by making things look beautiful for a person so that he loses that very important resource that he has, the resource of time and the resource of his energy and his heart and his soul and his beliefs. And if you notice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran also says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل هل ننبئكم بالأخسرين أعمالا الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, do you want me to tell you who is the worst of person, who is the greatest of losers in terms of his actions? He says it is that person who, struggled in this world, all of his efforts got wasted, but he thought that he's doing a good deed. He thought he's achieving perfection. You see? Now this is what happens, that greed, when a person, starts to look for these material things beyond what is his need, as a result of it looking beautiful and it looking good and it being palatable to his existence, he follows those things and gets lost in looking for those things. Or for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَفَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ فَرَآهُ حَسَنًا. Haven't you seen that person who we have beautified for him his bad deeds, and he thinks that they are good deeds? You see, this is another very dangerous situation. And this happens as a result of sometimes because of what Shaitan does, what the devil does. Because Shaitan, one of his tricks and one of his most important tools is this beautification. As he says in the Holy Quran, قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. O Allah, Shaitan says, because of you misguiding me, I will make it beautiful for them in this world. And that is the plan that he has.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Now, we notice that what Shaitan would do, therefore, is to make things look beautiful for a person so that he wastes his efforts struggling for them, looking for them. And this is actually what is greed. inside the heart, a human being wants perfection, infinite perfection. And that is the actual need. But by shaitan making other things look beautiful for men, makes that internal thirst and urge to be satisfied in the wrong direction. And therefore, he starts to earn those things, starts to look for those things, and goes after them, thinking that that is going to be actually a source of his progress. In fact, this is in one of the advices that Luqman gives to his son. He says, وَقْنَعْ بِقِسْمِ اللَّهِ لِيَصْفُوا عَيْشُكَ فَإِنْ أَرَدْتَ أَمْ تَجْمَعَ إِزَّ الدُّنْيَا فَقْطَعْ طَمَعَكَ فِي أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. Luqman tells his son that if you are content, in fact, he tells him, be content with what Allah has distributed for you, so that your life becomes good and peaceful and enjoyable. And if you want to earn the honor of this world, then cut yourself from the greed of what people have in their hands. Cut yourself of that greed. Inshallah, we will discuss about this advice that Luqman gave to his son in more depth in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on a new episode of Muslim Lady. In the studio, of course, I have the honor of being with my friend, Sister Razia Shawani. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you?
I'm very well. So we've been talking about modesty, haya, and its manifestation, which is chastity. We've explained that modesty is much more than just covering yourself and lowering your gaze. Modesty is a sense of integrity and self-respect.
Previously, we said that you can have two kinds of categorization. If you want to look at the topic of haya, you can either look at the manifestation and the different aspects of a person's life, or you can look at who this observer is. Because if you remember, the first definition that we provided for modesty or haya was that a feeling of shamefulness because a respected observer is watching you. So who is this respected observer who's watching you? It depends to your level of dignity, to your level of depth of understanding. It could be random people. You know, you're so, because this random people that not even this, like, I have to talk about it, because sometimes when you're with your family, when, like, you treat your wife in a really unrespected, rude way, but when you're in the society with other people, you talk to her well, you know, or vice versa. This lady disrespects her husband in the home, but when she's outside and she wants to have a very good presentation of herself and her life, she says, you know, she talks in a really nice and respectable way. So people are scared of other people judging them, so they try to make up a very good reputation of themselves. So this is the lowest type of modesty or haya. The second one was with regards to the angels, and we're going to talk about this based on the Quranic verses. I remember from elementary school that I still remember very clearly that when the day that they taught us that there is an angel on your left side and one on your right side, and when you do something good, the right hand angel writes it down and records it in your book of deeds, and when you do something really bad, the left hand angel does it, right? So even in cartoons, you have this exactly. angel, right-hand angel thing. And it really works. It's just like the cameras, the hidden cameras that are there. And you're always conscious, self-conscious, that someone is watching me. And imagine that this someone is there 24/7. And it's not just your apparent physical behavior, it's also your intentions, because at the end of the day, in Islamic teachings, they say
al-a'malu bi-niyyat. Actions are rely on intentions.
Yeah. So sometimes, like, there's this person who doesn't have the money to give to poor people, but he has a really pure intention, and he says, "Oh, I wish I had money to help." And then there's another guy who's a millionaire, and he writes a check for, you know, a couple of millions of dollars for someone, but he does it because out of fame and out of, you know, gaining more prestige, or for, you know, to get for a relation, for some connections, because he wants to have a nice apartment or nice building built somewhere, and he needs some people to find out that this guy is a really good
charitable man.
Person, so he does it. So that person actually didn't, I mean, donate anything and just had the intention, he gets the reward. He gets the actual reward. And this person who has spent so much money on charity would get nothing, because that was the purpose. The whole niya was wrong. So here, these angels are watching you. And there's another beautiful verse that we have two other angels who are guarding you. Yeah. One who's... Just imagine, at every second of your life, you have four angels accompanying you everywhere that you go. You're never alone.
That's so uncomfortable.
But they're guarding you, you know? They're like your soulmate. And in this beautiful verse, it says, "For his sake, there are angels following one another before him and behind him, who guard him by Allah's commandment." This is in chapter 50, verses number 17 and 18. So this is one kind of looking at the topic of haya, and on a deeper scale.